DWA Mobile.
Q Mobile and monitoring.
Morning. It's Steve on this end. Who we got there?
This is Richard. I think I've talked with you a time or two before.
How are we this morning there, Richard?
Well, bank account's a little good bit lighter. I just filled up the truck.
Is it a diesel?
Wished it was. I'd be getting better mileage.
The next time you pass the station, look at the price of diesel.
Yep, it's over $5 most places. I paid $2.94 at Sam's on Woodruff Road.
The Sam's in Spartanburg is $2.99.
$2.89.
That's discrimination. I think we need to talk to the governor.
I haven't go to the government that would listen.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yep. So anyhow, let's not even go there this morning. Get up on my soapbox and it just wouldn't be pretty.
He's yelling with you. There's probably a lot of us that feel the same way, but I don't know what we can do other than vote them knuckleheads out.
I know of several that we need to get rid of desperately. And the other party doesn't seem to be able to put up anything but 10 times as bad. So, you know, you hold your nose and vote for what you got because you don't want the alternative. You know? We have no one but ourselves to blame for the level of quality of candidates.
Jacket in my truck.
Hopefully not the hard way.
No, he's crawling around on the dash.
He's going to hear a slight crunching noise of his own self being squished right before he goes on to the great beyond.
Conditioning on, so hopefully he's too cold to do a whole lot of moving real fast, and he's not real close to me, KK4FTU Mobile.
Okay. So for the moment, live and let live. Well, I've got to go back to the house. I've just been down to Lowe's this morning. Picked up a bunch of stuff, and I got to go back to my man cave and do a little bit of electrical this morning. Doesn't that sound like fun? Oh, Richard, there goes the neighborhood. Oh, hey, Dave.
Hey, Richard, I thought I heard some other QRM on here. I guess I thought we got rid of that.
Doing some electrical work in the man cave. You setting up a new desk and power supply for the new radios, or moving the radios, or what?
No, I'm setting up a 30-amp RV plug. My man cave is 40 feet wide, 60 feet deep, and 16 foot clear to the first rafter. And I've just bought a new camper, and I'm setting up a shore power for it to make sure that the batteries don't go dead on the front of it. So I'm setting up a 30-amp circuit and rerunning another circuit for my air compressor.
That deal to me.
Well, who did that song? Money, 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 money. You got to pay to play, only today it's a lot, it hurts a lot worse. Go ahead, Dave.
Is on a schedule. Hey, Steve, I need to find me a good mobile speaker. What's that one you got at the house? Is that good for a mobile, or is that going to be hooked up to power? I put the radio in my wife's car. I took the speaker out of my car, so I'm basically using the speaker and the radio under the seat.
Okay. If you go online, MFJ has got one. It's so-so. But if you go by one of the truck stops, like QT truck stops, Truck Stop of America, they generally have extension speakers, and all you got to do is just Velcro it down into spots you want, plug it in the back of your radio, and you're off to your races.
Yeah, I think I got one. The one I have is an MSA. It's a little square, like a 3x3 or 4x4 square. I know that they made a smaller one for compact areas. That's kind of the one I was looking at. I think it was called a Clear Voice or something.
Well, West Mountain Clear Voice speakers, they're quite expensive, and I've got one. And I've got it for sale, but it's not small. It's probably going to measure 5.5 by 5.5 by about 2 inches deep.
Yeah, I know. I've seen the one at your house. All right, I'm thinking of the wrong speaker then. I know they make a smaller compact speaker. I guess gotta look on the ham radio website, ham radio outlet, see what they have.
Yep, roger, roger. Okay, Richard, you know of one?
I've got one under my radio. I don't know, remember what it is. I don't think it's a Midland. I think it's they use for business radios hooked up to this Kenwood.
Motorola.
I don't know. It came with the truck. It works good.
Hey, those old Motorola speakers, them things are bulletproof. Love to find one of those.
About 4 inches square, about 2 inches deep.
Yeah, that's what I had in my vehicle here. I think it was the MFJ. I forget what it is. It's in my wife's car now. I put a radio in her car, so when we go out, we take her car most of the time anyway. But anyway, Steve, I'm on my way back to my house to drop off the duckboard. I got to run down and just put that metal around the unit, and then I'm heading your way. So you figure 1 o'clock looks pretty good.
See you there at 1 o'clock. Good deal.
Now, how come I'm not helping you up at your man cave?
Because everything I've got that I'm running today, I've just got to put in a couple of breakers, and it's all surface mount.
You're putting a 30-amp plug, the 3-pin plug?
Yeah.
All right, what size wire are you using?
10.
I would have gone with number 8 or number 6. Number 10's kind of pushing it for 30 amps.
No. I looked on the charts, baby. And NEMA code says 10 is rated for 30 amps. And all of the NEMA codes have a 10 to 15% fudge factor. So, yeah, number 10 is all we need there. Now, number 8 is rated for, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, number 8 is rated for 50 amps. And number 6, good land, son, that's rated for 80 amps.
Are you using solid copper or are you using stranded?
Solid copper.
I'll have to talk to you about that later and explain why you stranded, not solid.
This is not for radios, boss.
Doesn't matter.
Hey, Dave, remember, I did electronics all my life. And for this application, it doesn't matter, solid or stranded. It's all the same thing on this. All it is dead current draw.
Oh, okay. All right. Okie dokie. Go ahead, Richard. Pick it up. KB2HXS Mobile. I'm in the Pleasantburg area.
I'm fixing to come past the Powdersville area. KK4FTU Mobile.
In Inman, the mega metropolis of Inman. I just don't know if we can get through Inman with all this traffic. Oh, me. So, Dave, Pleasantburg runs all the way from way up at Poinsett all the way down to Augusta Road. So, what part of Pleasantburg are you on?
I just turned on 29, or Wade Hampton. Oh, I had to run into, I had to run down the Industrial Avenue there, down to R.E. Michael, off the Keith Drive and all that. So I just jumped on Wade Hampton down here where Pleasantburg intersects.
Okay. All right. Yep. Well, you're welcome to come on by and, wait a minute. I need to ask you, what kind of tin or sheet metal did you need?
I already got it.
All right, because I've got some at the house. I meant to tell you that. You know, the type that they use on the side of a building with the ridges in it? I've got some of that.
I just picked up some 28-gauge flat steel, galvanized. I just gotta make a little bit of a doghouse around that package unit I put in last week. I couldn't get it up to the house, so I need, I got what I need.
What you're doing, you're making a little flashing, attaching it to the house and running it out to the unit so that no critters can get in and no water can get in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just a little flashing around the unit, that's all. It's mainly for critters. The point of where the unit is sitting at the house is pretty tight. It's for both, mainly the critters.
And Richard.
A question for Dave. I don't know if he can answer me right now, or he may have to give me a call. How do you figure out the size of the heat exchanger if you want to go from Freon to liquid? Liquid heat exchanger.
Freon liquid to heat exchanger? What are we talking about? A heat pump?
Convert to geothermal.
Is that one of those units that takes the water up out of the ground deep and cycles it and then puts it back down in the ground?
Pumps it through the heat exchanger, and then your compressor runs the Freon through the other part of the heat exchanger, so you're preheating. The water stays constant about 50 degrees, so your heat pump works a whole heck of a lot better.
Oh, okay. I don't even think they still made those.
We make something for different applications, because you have lots of chillers and stuff in the industrial side. I was just wondering how you would size it to compare to, say, a 4-ton heat pump.
And I don't. I haven't. Jesus, that's old technology. Wow. Okay, I don't know. I'm sorry, I can't answer that one. I can do some investigation and find out for you.
Yeah, I know somebody that he converted his heat pumps. He has plenty of land, so he was able to dig the 2,000 foot circles to put his bury his water lines in for fluid, but. He says it has saved him a bunch of money on his house, heating and cooling.
KK4VXA.
Station recognized. Well, the heat pumps are really not that efficient when you get down below like 45 degrees ambient temperature. They're really not very good. This area, I see a lot of both. I see gas, natural gas, and heat pumps. I prefer natural gas for heat. Actually, because it's cheaper to run than a heat pump. When that thing cycles on and off, you get that inrush current, man, it'll just blow up your electric bill. Breaking station, go ahead and take it. KB2HXS Mobile.
If your heat pump is doing the job today and you had a 4-ton and all your rooms are exactly like you want to be today, then I would keep it a heat pump geothermal.
And stay away from the geothermal?
Oh, negative. I would absolutely do it. What I'm saying is if you have a 4-ton heat pump today and all your rooms in your house are at the right temperature and your house is comfortable, then I would stay with the 4-ton. If you feel like a couple of your rooms could use a little bit more push, then it might be time to upgrade because you're about to replace half of your system anyway.
No, is the basically what I'll be doing away with is the outside unit as far as the coils on the outside are, and using the water from the ground to exchange heat or pull heat from, depending on what time of year, because it stays constant 50-something degrees in this area.
The geothermal stuff is what you're talking about, I think. You want to pull the water from the ground or the coil, and you want to use that to cool or heat your compressor on the outside for the heat exchange to bring the Freon back down.
Because as Dave says, heat pumps do not work below 45 degrees.
Closer to the middle 30s today. The older ones, that might have been true. But I think that the new ones will do pull its own and so on. But like I said, is I would just keep it at, if you're happy with the 4-ton, then you'll buy a module or part that will maintain your 4-ton. And you can never put too much coil down if you're putting it in the ground or not just pulling from a well.
Exchanger to go from the liquid, from the stuff in the ground to the Freon. That's what I was wondering about size-wise.
Can't give you like an exact thing, but I can tell you that if you tell them you have a 4-ton system in your house, they'll be able to tell you what you need to put in there today if you're going to buy one. Now, if you're trying to make something, then I can't help you there.
I appreciate the help. KK4FTU. Back to you, Richard.
KB2HXS.
You mobile? Yes.
All righty. So I'm sorry I couldn't answer your question. I think I understand what you're trying to do. And, the other fellow may be able to help you better than I can.
Well, I'd throw it out there because I don't know and I haven't done a whole lot of research thus far.
I know years ago they used to have the water systems where you'd preheat the water off the condensing unit for like water heaters and things like that. But that's really the only experience I have with heat exchange into water to preheat your house and all that kind of stuff. But I think the more efficient way, there's a couple different ways to do it. You can either do a gas 90% gas heater at the house, which is very efficient. Uses natural gas, and they have what they call a dual fuel system, which you have a heat pump condenser and a gas unit, and then you set up with different temperature probes where at a certain temperature it will switch over to gas. When it gets down to like 40 degrees or something like that, it will switch over to the gas unit so you don't freeze up the condenser.
Just total electric, so when it gets cold and I want to heat, I got those heat strips that kick on.
You may as well turn on your toaster oven too.
You don't have the thermostat set really high in the winter and really it's set right now at 78 in the summertime for the air.
The heat pump at the house, you have a straight cool with electric heat. Okay, but the heat strips are basically backup heat or emergency heat. They shouldn't come on all the time.
Well, when it gets below 45 degrees, 50 degrees outside.
Yeah, that's when the unit will go into defrost, and then the heat strips will kick on for that 5 or 7 minutes while it's in defrost. That's what kills your electric. Change over my system to gas. I've got a gas heater that I acquired, 90%er, and I'm just going to leave my heat pump condenser and wire it for straight cool. This way it doesn't go into heat pump, and just run the gas heater.
Shoot, years ago, I had a guy I know, lives over in Greer. He built a house and he put a Linux in and they wanted to run the exhaust with PVC and he about had a holy fit.
Well, that's the new systems now. The 90%ers, that's what you do. You run them with 2-inch PVC because they don't send a lot of heat out the exhaust, and they condensate.
Years ago, though, he about had a fit.
Yeah, I think it's about when they came out. I'm not really sure. I gotta look back, but I didn't do a lot of gas heat work in Florida. You know, it was mainly heat pumps. The gas stuff just started coming in and the new developments and stuff. And take the heat pump off the grid.
Yeah, I don't think it was right at 90. I think at the time he built the new house, it was high 80s.
Plant unit?
I think it was 85 or something like that percent. It was up there. It was almost 90%. It may have been 90%. I just know he said they wanted to do the exhaust with PVC. I said, he about had a fit.
I think the new ones are like 96% or 95% now, and that's what they do. They run 2-inch PVC off of the heat unit because it doesn't really... It means 96% of the heat's going to go into the house and less of a percentage of heat going out the exhaust pipe.
What they do is they pull incoming air to cool off for the intake air to cool off the exhaust air so that you're not blowing up. So it gives a little bit of a heat exchange to that way, too.
Oh, they all have those motors. Yeah, they all have the induction motors. That's how you get the flames the way they do. The induction motor pulls in fresh air from wherever it is in the attic or under the house or whatever, and helps push the heat up the exhaust or push the exhaust out.
That is like a pipe inside of a pipe. And inside is the exhaust, and the outside of it is intake where you're not. It's heating the air coming into the system rather than just blowing hot air out.
Yeah. Some of the new heat units do that. Yeah, it's like a double wall pipe.
It's still more efficient to heat water with solar than it is to make electricity, though.
Oh, I understand. I get that. Anyway, Richard, I'm back at the house myself. I got to unload my trailer here. I got to get on my way to my customers. I will catch you later. You have a good day. I'm sorry I didn't retain your call. KB2HXS here in Greer. Yay.
Appreciate the help. You have a good one and be safe out there. I'm fixing to go crash and get ready to go build some more cars tonight. KK4FTU Mobile Clear.
KK4FTU, KB2HXS. Have a good day, Richard. 73.
KB84FDI.